Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyou and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show here on UK Health Radio, the real feel-good radio. Intuition is that feeling in your gut when you instinctively know that something you are doing is right or wrong. Or maybe it's that feeling when you're sensing kindness or fear. What is actually intuition? After all, researchers could not see it in the brain, but to help us understand intuition, I invited Ryan Haynes, the Australian healer, intuitive channel, and energy worker. Hi, Ryan, and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show. How are you today?
Hi, Andra. I'm really, really great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. I'm very curious to understand more about intuition. I've always been, this is quite a controversial topic, isn't it? Some people are saying that actually intuition can be used in decision making, should be used in strategic decisions, even in organizations. But what is it exactly? I would very much like to hear from you, especially because you have many years of experience doing intense or spiritual practices. You're providing with your to your international clients retreats, courses around intuition and spiritual growth. So I'm just very curious to hear more about you and your professional background, whatever you want to share with us today.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Andra. So as you beautifully introduced, I'm an intuitive channel and I'm an energy worker. So I've spent the majority of my adult life cultivating my connection to spirit. So cultivating my internal voice so that my entire work life flows from this inner voice. All of my decision making flows from this inner voice. And basically my entire existence is really built around my connection to spirit, my intuition. So my work life now, how that looks is a lot of writing. I have this very strong, what I would call a clairaudience sense, where I can listen to spirit, as we all can if we cultivate that. But I listen to spirit and I write what comes through. And I'm releasing a book in October, which is 100% channeled. And then the other way that my connection to spirit is flowing through my work is as an energy worker. So clients are coming to me and I'm channeling for them and I'm doing energy work or healing, and I'm using the directions of spirit to help to guide those sessions. So it's been a long time building up to the work that I do now and really cultivating my intuition to such a degree that I rely on it and trust it 100% in all aspects of my life.
It's very interesting that you brought up the word trust, because approximately 3 seconds ago, I wrote exactly this word on my notepad. The reason why I did that is because I was interested in understanding how do we start trusting our intuition. Just makes me think about people who are more pragmatic, very focused on numbers, very focused on evidence. From my perspective, with the knowledge I have, intuition is not really about that. So how do we start trusting our intuition, and what is intuition exactly? How do we recognize that? I know three questions, Ryan, on yes in one. I know I did ask you three questions.
No, that's great questions. So trust, it's so interesting that you bring that up, Andrek, because that to me, trust is the number one thing that either really opens us intuitively or blocks us. So either if we're trusting, we're opening to our intuition, and if we're not trusting, then we're usually closing off. So the thing that keeps most people from realizing how intuitive they are is a lack of trust in their own intuition that is already there. So everyone, whether you believe it or not, is being subtly guided to a path that is divine, what I call the highest path. Everyone is being guided on this path one way or another. And as you choose to listen and acknowledge the subtle signs and trust the subtle signs, these signs become more and more obvious, and quite simply, life gets better. But most people have no reason to trust their intuition. because they've never listened to it, and therefore they've never experienced the incredible expansion, the incredible upgrade that happens from following intuition. So I'll give you a really like subtle example in our day-to-day life. It's like you wake up in the morning and you decide what to wear, and you're looking at these two outfits, and one of them you just want to wear, but then the other one you put on out of habit or something, and you just feel a little bit out of place all day. You didn't do what you wanted to do, what your heart was guiding you to. The same happens with our food choices all the time. Maybe every single morning we have a certain drink. You might have a latte, but maybe one morning you really don't want a coffee. You just want, you know, a herbal tea, and you get the coffee because it's habitual and you feel sick. So these little subtle things are, these little subtle nudges from our heart, from our intuitive voice, are leading us all the time. And the more you trust that little voice, you acknowledge it, you listen to it, and you act on it, the better you get at listening to that voice, and the more you can trust that voice in big life decisions. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, just remind me of the other aspect of your question there.
So I was interested in understanding what is intuition and how can we build trust to create trust this voice. But I think you did ask, you did answer my question. Now, the second thing that I was thinking about was the importance of intuition. And the reason why I want this to be discussed is because I am someone who, I try my very best to use my intuition in the best, in the most basic form. So I don't have any particular knowledge, like scientific knowledge or spiritual knowledge around that. But I've seen that every time I followed my intuition, I was more successful in my actions rather than when I went with the classical path, the traditional path, the habit, as you said. So why do you think is intuition important? What's the role that it plays in our lives?
Yeah, beautiful question. So here, in order to acknowledge the power of your intuition and the importance of it, you first need to acknowledge the connection to the universe, the connection to spirit that exists within all of us. If you see yourself as one individual being disconnected from all of life and disconnected from all others, then there is no intuitive voice, because your intuitive voice is your divine voice. It's the aspect of God or the universe, whatever word you want to use. It's the aspect of the universe that's alive within you. It's that voice. So firstly, you need to acknowledge that you are an individual being as part of a macrocosm, as part of an interwoven web, before you can acknowledge that you're an intuitive being. And once you can acknowledge that you are an aspect of the universe, that we are all connected, then you can acknowledge the aspect of you that is divine, that is wise, that knows exactly what to do in every situation. And you could call that aspect of you the higher self, your soul aspect. So this aspect of you that's alive within all of us, whether you like to believe it or not, this aspect of you knows the exact decision that you should make in every circumstance. This aspect of you, your higher self, is always leading you on your highest path, is always protecting you, looking out for you, showing you the way, right? So if you're connected to your intuition, if you're connected to your higher self via your heart, via your feeling heart, then life is easier. When you believe that you're separate, that there is no universal intelligence, that it's just little old you in your body with your mind, if you believe that, then you've got to go everything alone. You've got to make every decision alone. You've got to problem solve everything in your head. And most people who have to do that because they don't have that connection, most people who are going it all alone, problem solving and battling in their mind, they're getting extremely stressed, feeling extremely isolated, overwhelmed, like the weight is on their shoulders, right? But when you're connected to your intuition, you're taking your problems, all the weight of the world, and you're handing it over to a higher source that exists within you that knows the way. And if you connect to your intuition, you can let go, you can soften, you can relax, and you can know that you're being taken care of. And in that, you feel better. Life is easier. There's less stress. There's less worry. So, intuition to me, it's not something magical and mystical. It is these things, but it's essential. It's essential because if we're not connected to our intuition, we're isolated, we're overwhelmed, we're stressed, and the mind is on overdrive trying to figure it all out by itself.
Do you think there are individuals who have challenges recognizing signs of, I don't even know if that's great, signs of intuition, or do you think they have difficulties because of the pragmatism, because of their life experiences? They might have challenges identifying this warning signs that intuition comes into place in the decision-making aspect.
Of course, Andra. So it's all part of the program, right? From childhood, we are programmed by society. Most people are programmed by their families to believe that you have to follow a fixed mold, right? Do school, go to university or college, buy a house, climb the corporate ladder or the ladder of your job, get married, have children, right? There's a framework. And society pushes us into that framework. And usually what happens is, if we're not connected to our higher self, if our heart isn't open, then it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard to pull away from that framework if that's what the heart is calling for.
When it was quite interesting at some point, because you mentioned the fact that, you know, you get all this the signs by following your intuition, and you're not alone in the universe, and somehow something is taking care of you. Do you think there's any connection between intuition and destiny? The belief that we have a destiny? Or do you think these are quite foreign, quite independent notions really connect?
I think they're both connected, Andra, but I think that destiny, sometimes when we connect too much with the idea of destiny, it completely makes us surrender our free will. So yes, we are part of an interwoven web, and yes, there is a cosmic intelligence that connects us all and is guiding us on a path that is far beyond our control. However, with that being said, we are intelligent and individual beings who are able to construct and create our own realities with our mind and our actions. So intuition is taking us on the highest possible path. I believe that although some aspects of our lives are destined to play out, we all have a number of potential timelines, potential realities that we can exist within and move along. And of those infinite number of timelines and realities, there are higher timelines, higher energies, more divine outcomes, and lower timelines with lower energies. I believe that our intuition is guiding us on the highest timeline. On the highest timeline, the most divine outcome. And along all of those potentialities of timelines, there's going to be things that are destined to unfold, things that are destined to unfold. But we always have choice, and we're always able to listen to our heart, to make decisions that move us on that highest trajectory, that highest possible timeline.
In your new book, The Keepers of the Light Code, which, by the way, is such a beautiful name, a beautiful title for the book, You talk about how to put an end to a never-ending journey of spiritual growth. And when I was reading that, I was thinking, this sounds a bit revolutionary, isn't it? Considering that we hear all the time about continuous learning a journey, continuous self-discovery, it just feels like, as you said, never-ending. And it's almost sometimes feels like a burden, like a duty. Especially in the modern world and Western societies. Tell us more about that. How did you come up with the idea of this book? Why did you phrase things in the way you did? What's the reason behind that?
So firstly, I would love to take credit for coming up with the idea of the book. But as a channel, I was told to write the book, and then I was very excited to write it. So I kept trying to sit down and write it, trying to connect, and it would only come through when it was ready to come through.
Of course, and, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would give you a bit of insight into how it came through, because it's actually very fitting to the overall message of the book. So I had before I channeled the book, I had really kind of separated my life from my spirituality. So my spirituality was these sacred times that I carved out in my day, where I would sit and I would meditate, or I would do yoga, or I would connect, and I would channel. And then the rest of my life, I was just waiting for this moment to go back to my spiritual practice, basically. And I had created separation between my existence and my spirituality. And the truth is that life, our entire existence, this moment right now, is the practice. This is the spiritual practice. And I got that lesson when I had my 2-year-old daughter, and I was also pregnant again. And, you know, I didn't have time to sit and meditate. I didn't have time to go to yoga class. I was just immersed in motherhood, immersed in life. And I had to learn to find that deep connection to spirit, that deep connection to that universal intelligence. I had to learn to find that in my waking existence, in my day-to-day existence. And so simple activities like cooking dinner, you know, I learned to merge and fall in love with those activities, to be present, to enjoy it, to enjoy that art of cooking dinner as though it's medicine for my body. I learned to enjoy eating. I learned to enjoy drinking, to enjoy observing nature. And then I no longer needed the meditation. What I was doing is I was learning to dive more deeply into the present moment of my waking existence than I ever had before. And I was mending, I was healing that separation that I had made between my spirituality and my life. And I'd learned that life is the most deeply spiritual practice that we could ever have. And the book, The Keepers of the Light Codes, it's launching in October, and the message in it, which is delivered through these 9 sacred lessons and 28 sacred initiations, it's that reminder that if this moment now is the deepest spiritual practice that you could ever find, then you right now are the most deeply realized spiritual being that you could ever be. And there's a teaching in the book around the nature of time. So you may have heard, or your listeners may have heard, the idea that linear time is an illusion, right? That linear time is an illusion, and all of time starts now. All of the aspects of you that there will ever be and have ever been exist now. So your most healed version of yourself in linear time, it exists in the future. It's separate from you. But in the true multidimensional nature of time, your most healed, most ascended, most divine aspect of you is existing now. And the only thing that you need to do in order to access this version of you as an energy is to change your perspective, to change the way you perceive yourself, and to change the way you interact with the present moment. So there has been a bit of an addiction to personal development in this society, right? And personal development is beautiful. There's so much in personal development that has allowed humanity to evolve to a level of consciousness where we are now. So what I mean by personal development is all these teachers and tools and books that teach us to upgrade our lifestyle, to have more positive thinking and to, you know, clean up our diet, clean up our habits, clean up our behavior, try harder, do this, do that. And all of these things are great. But in the human conditioning to strive, what happens is we always fall short. And our best intentions to change ourselves often lead us to being disappointed with ourselves. And the moment you're disappointed with yourself, you're not enough. You're not whole. So what about if you were entirely perfect right now? There was no amount of meditation, there was no amount of yoga, there was no amount of workshops, retreats that you could possibly do. As you sit, as you listen, as you are right now, you are it, whole, complete, glorious. How would it change the way you live your life? How would it change the way you spend your days? How would it change the way you interact with the world around you and serve humanity through your work? It would change hugely, because most people can't live their fully realized, their full expression of their life, because they're too busy feeling that they're not there yet. They're not enough yet. But when we're enough right now, then and there we change to live the most best life that we could ever lead. And it's just from a change in perception, a change in energy.
Renan, you just complicated my day terribly now, because what do I say after this? What do I say after this? This was so profound, such a profound message. And really, it did strike at least one of my chords, and I hope it did the same for the listeners. Because you are right. We are running through life chasing things, chasing expectations, chasing hopes, chasing things that at the end of the day, in some situations, can only bring us anxiety, right? Because if you don't, if you feel very strongly about something that you have very little control, which is future, of course this can cause anxiety. Of course this can cause depression, because you're not going to be there. Maybe context is changing. So how hard it is to actually change your perspective. How hard it is to actually take a step back and look at yourself as a person who's whole. That was really deep. That was really profound. And I'm so pleased you said that. Because I do believe it changes things, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Most of the times when I'm in trouble and I don't know what to do, I always ask myself, you know, if I knew how to fix this, how would I fix it? And I'm telling you, this is something that I've tried over and over again. A few seconds later, I have the response, because somehow you detach yourself almost from the burden of immediate problem solving. And as you said, you change perspective. So I would really like us to discuss after the commercial break about the challenges that someone can have when they're trying to work or change their perspective. And maybe with your experience, you can provide some clear examples when clients came to you with this type of issue and they managed to change their perspective. They managed to channel their energy and channel their intuition. So let's come back after short commercial messages to discuss with Ryan about intuition, about energy work, and how we can bring more of these in our lives.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Ryan. We're discussing intuition. Before the break, Ryan, you were giving us a brief introduction to your book, The Keepers of the Light Codes, and talking about changing perspective. How hard it is to change perspective? Do you think it can be, as Oprah said, an aha moment? Or it can be, I hope she was the first one that said that for sure. It was the first time I heard that from her. So can it be an aha moment, or does it need to take a bit more time for some of us to be able to have the wisdom, the strength to recognize that perspectives can be changed and sometimes should be changed? How does it work in practice from your experience?
Yeah. So, it's important to understand and have kindness for ourselves, because, as I said earlier, we are programmed from a very, very young age, usually to believe that we're not enough until we tick a certain number of boxes. We spend our life ticking those boxes in order to try and be enough. So then as adults of any age, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, beyond, adults are left then with this deep, deep feeling that they're not enough. And they spend their days trying to find ways to be enough, right? Trying to do whatever workshop or whatever course or training or practice is needed in order to try and be enough. And when people are coming into my trainings to learn how to be more intuitive, to learn how to be more connected, the interesting thing is that my training serves as one of those ticks in the box for them, right? As mm-hmm. when they first join up, they want to tick that box. They want to be more whole and complete. And the first thing that I always say is just let it all go. Let it all go. I don't put in place any guidelines. I don't put in place any things that have to be done on any given day. My number one instruction is, can you get really good at knowing what you want truly from your heart on any given day? And can you get really good at doing that? So there are two things though that get in the way of listening to that and knowing that. The first is most people are not connected to their heart. They don't know what the heart wants. And the second is most people have no time, no mental space to listen to what their deep inner wisdom is trying to tell them, right? So to your listeners who want to change their perspective and remember the perfection that they are right now, here is my really easy go-to advice. Number one, do the things today that make you feel alive and in love. Alive and in love. For me, I live very close to the beach. It's like when you're in the ocean and you look around and the water is glistening and you fall in love, your heart opens. Maybe you've been to a yoga class and you're laying in Shavasana at the end of the class and a song comes on. It triggers something in your heart and a little tear rolls down your eye, right? Tear rolls down your cheek. And then, or maybe it's like, you know, you're with your children and they're playing in nature and it just makes you smile and your heart just opens. It's these things that make our heart open, that it connects us to our truth, where we feel the magic that we are, where we feel how whole we are. That feeling exists in the heart, and you open the heart and you access the heart through falling in love with life. Through falling in love with life. The other thing that I would recommend, like right now, is to let your mind have some space. You're not going to know what your heart wants to do today if your mind is completely on overdrive, like absolutely wired. Most people's minds are so wired, so stimulated, that they can't feel their body. They can't feel that love and aliveness that I'm talking about. So the mind needs to find some space. Most people, they get in their car, they put the radio on, they get to work, they're on their computer taking in so much information, drive home, radio on, get home, TV on, sit on the couch, scroll through their phone. The chatter, there is so much information coming in all the time that when people aren't even surrounded by screens or chatter, there's that harm exists in the mind anyway, that harm of the constant thoughts, and people don't even know it's there because they're so used to it. So what I'm going to say now is quite controversial to most people. And yes, I did say, like, I'm not going to say that you have to do one certain thing. But if you try and do this just for 1 week, and that is to have a big detox, like put a blanket over your TV, delete your social media apps, and don't turn the radio on in your car. Try it for 7 days. And when you've got a quiet moment, sit down, lay down on the couch, and don't even read. Just lay there and see if you can breathe and feel your body. See if you can notice all the sensations that are alive in your body. And just do this really religiously for a week. And then after a week, you will notice the impact that all of those things were having on your mind. You will notice how wired your mind was compared to how peaceful your mind is after a little detox. Start to notice your mind as it thinks and goes on tangents. Start to observe the world around you. Start to breathe a little slower and start to distract your mind to focus on something else. And those two things alone, finding the day-to-day practices that open your heart and make you feel love, and learning to quiet the chatter of the mind. If you can do those things, you're going to meet a different aspect of yourself. You're going to learn to know yourself better. You're going to learn to feel yourself as that whole and complete being that I'm speaking about. You might not feel it all the time, but you'll feel that person emerge in certain moments of the day, and you'll become more intuitive without even trying.
Everything you just mentioned sounds absolutely, you know, incredible. But my concern is that this can be quite scary for quite a few of us.
Yeah.
So disconnecting completely for 7 days sounds a bit overwhelming, isn't it? But you did mention, though, the disclaimer was that this is a detox, isn't it? So you did put the disclaimer on.
Yeah. But
the trouble we're having is that it can sound terribly scary. And it sounds amazing. You know, it sounds amazing. You described this in such detail with such profound way that absolutely sounds very attractive. It sounds like the perfect, almost, you know, escape, or maybe even better than escape, the perfect door to a different type of existence, to a different type of perception of our existence. But what do you do when you're quite scared to go for the 7 days, right? And can we compromise here? Can we negotiate with you?
Yeah.
Maybe differently.
Of course. But do you know, Andrew, it's interesting that your use of word there, that it sounds like a beautiful escape, a perfect escape. But actually, the reason most people would be fearful of that is, to me, it's the opposite of the escape. The TV and the social media, that's the escape. Because the truth of what the body is trying to tell us, usually the body, if we've been not listening to our intuition for a lot of years, usually something in our life will be out of alignment. If you haven't been listening to your intuition for years or even decades, there's a very good chance that you're in a relationship, in a job, or even living somewhere, and it probably doesn't feel 100% right in your heart. If you've gone a lot of years not listening, there's a chance you're living a life that is out of alignment. And there is pain in the body, right? When we live a life that's not in alignment, we start to feel unhappy. And it's the unhappiness that drives us to escape so that we don't have to feel that discomfort. So first of all, to your listeners that would feel a little bit afraid of the 7 days of the 7 day detox, disconnecting, I want you to ask yourself, what are you afraid that you'll notice? What are you really afraid of? Is it disconnecting? Or what are you afraid of noticing is out of alignment? Because in that line of questioning alone, you've probably just connected to your intuition more deeply than you have in a while. So, of course, anything is better than nothing. Even if you could just do one thing a bit different. So tonight, when you go to do your normal routine without even thinking, you know, we've all got that little routine, that pattern, cook dinner, kids to bed, whatever, put the TV on, relax, cup of tea. You know, can you do the routine different just tonight? Can you just lay in silence with your eyes closed and just fall in love with your body? See if you can get so peaceful that you can feel your heart beating within your chest. See if you can get so peaceful that just for even a minute, you can feel the pulse in your fingertips. And when you learn to fall in love with the present moment like that, nothing else will compare in entertainment because it's so good. It's so good to be able to have that depth within the present moment without needing any stimulus, without needing any enhancement. And once you're able to access that, you're not going to want to do so much escapism. But yeah, there is a compromise. Just do whatever you can.
Well, I love this compromise, isn't it? Because it's good to start. It's good to start. Sometimes, if we put numbers, seven days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's like dieting for me, to be fair. As much as I appreciate that, you know, that's a good exercise. I would go for the 7 days, but I'm thinking that for some people, especially if you're struggling with mental health, to be able to sit in the moment as you described at the end of the day, that's such a fantastic achievement. It's almost, you know, based on what you said, it's almost the simplicity of the moment. The fact that you do not need external factors to make you feel complete. You just simply are there in the moment. And I've started to take a good care of myself from that perspective. But I am someone who has to do almost small steps sometimes because, you know, you have better periods in life when 7 days works perfectly fine. But then you have more tense days or even months when you do feel the need for the small increments of peace almost and simplicity rather than something big because it might be feeling a bit too overwhelming to handle. So thank you very much for breaking this down so nicely, so perfectly.
And also, if I may add, Andres, like as I said before, it's like I would never want to prescribe something that is fixed and rigid. As I said, like around personal development, because then we fall short. So if we set a really rigid benchmark for ourselves, then it's highly likely you won't be able to meet that. But if you can get really real with yourself and ask yourself in as many moments as possible, what would serve me best right now? Would it be the TV or would it be a walk? What would serve me best right now? Would it be scrolling through my phone or would it be just closing my eyes and lying on the floor? And even just that alone is going to allow you to really connect to what the heart wants in every moment. So that is actually going to really activate you really, really quickly, intuitively.
I think that's a fantastic question because it just makes you almost decide on the spot on the outcome of this. Mm-hmm. And very interesting. I really, because we're getting close to the end of the show, believe it or not, we still have quite a few minutes, but I want to be sure that we're also exploring some other aspects of intuition. So let's listen now to some valuable information from the station sponsors. And once we're back with Ryan on, I would like us to look into some maybe the connection between intuition and professional life. Let's come back after a few minutes with Ryan on.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with our guest today. We're discussing intuition. We're discussing ways of channeling your intuition and ways of changing your perspective and accessing the deepest level of intuition that every single one of us has. I would like us to almost end the conversation today around intuition with your take on where does intuition manifest the most? For example, is it creative industries? Is it more corporate world? Is it decision-making in the day-to-day life? From your experience, do you think intuition is more channeled or channeled more easily in some professional industries, or do you think it's just something that depends on the individual?
So intuition is going to guide you on your highest path. So your highest path is one where you are in service, in loving service to humanity, is one where you're prosperous, where you're abundant, where you're healthy, where you're loved. Right? So that's your highest path, and that is where your intuition is guiding you. So that is going to flow into every single aspect of your life. For me, intuition is so prevalent in every single facet of my existence, especially my professional work, my book, my energy work, practitioner training, which I call the Galactic Priestess Training. It's like all of these things, if I'm not meant to be doing it, they don't work out. They don't flow. There's a block. They just don't happen. If it's on that highest path, and I always say the prayer, the intention, keep me on my highest path, keep me on my highest path. I say it all the time. And anything that is not that will not work out in my life, right? So my professional life is very divinely guided by this intuitive voice, but also my relationship, particularly with my husband. When I met my husband, I actually had a different partner. And we were very close to being engaged. He'd asked my dad and everything. We had an apartment together and a dog and everything. And then I met my partner when I was on holiday in Bali with my mum. And I just knew that there was something there. He was like, you know, an old friend, even though I just met him. And I was connecting to that voice, you know, is this the man? Is this the man? And it was the man. The feeling was such strong, yes. And then 5 weeks later, I was pregnant. But
that's following your intuition completely, right? 100%. Yeah, so, this is such a happy end almost, isn't it? Or beginning.
Such a happy beginning, totally. And everybody who is listening to this, I mean, everybody's work, we all have a vision for our highest vision for work. How are you helping humanity? How are you helping the world? And it might not be obvious, you know, it might not be like in the healing realms, but maybe you're incredible with numbers and you want to help people in whatever way you see, right? Whatever way you see. That big vision that you see that lights you up, that gets your heart excited, that's it. You've got to trust that that's the higher vision. And if you can feel it in your heart, if you can see it clearly and it electrifies your body with excitement, if you ask for help, show me how to make this happen so that I can help these people, you will be supported 100%. If there is a relationship that is going to help you, if there's a partner that's going to help you to fulfill that vision, that is your highest path, you know? Ask for help. Bring this person into my life. Intuition flows into every facet because every facet of your life is interconnected. When you think about you living your most glorious life, we can all see it, right? That vision. What are you doing? Who are you with? It's all interconnected. You need those people in your vision to support you in your service, in your work. You need to be living wherever you see yourself living because that's when you're in your highest energy. So intuition is not, it's never separate. The vision is never separate. It's one vision, your highest vision, and your intuition is taking you there.
Rhiannon, thank you so much for that, for this. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your expertise, and thank you for, your ability to detail and explain things very clearly for us today. I think that the conversation was really, really valuable. We discussed about changing perspectives. We discussed about your new book and what's the message for that. We discussed about the fact that intuition is everywhere around us, and you gave us some really good insight into what are some of the things that we might do to start listening to our intuition. Pause for a second, have a cup of tea, and just break away from any distractions. So thank you very much for dedicating time to meet with us today.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Andrea. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Thank you. If we want to get in touch with you and potentially work with you, Rhiannon, where can we find you online? I know you have a really great website.
Sure. So you can follow me on my Instagram, which is RhiannonHines_. Or you can connect with me on my website, RhiannonHines.com. So right now I am really diving into my online training for energy workers and healers. It's called the Galactic Priestess Training. And it's a course that teaches my step-by-step process, my step-by-step energy work process, which is all about channeling, clearing energy, being a conduit for divine energies to flow so that you can really change people's lives through your energy work. And this course is also really focused on overcoming your fears and your judgment of yourself so that you can step up and be your most authentic, most aligned version of your healer self. So that's called the Galactic Priestess Training. And you can join that online anytime. We do heaps of amazing live Q&A calls, and it's a really, really beautiful community. And my book will be launching in October, The Keepers of the Light Codes. So yeah, join me on my Instagram, and that's a really awesome way to stay connected with everything that I'm doing.
Thank you, and best of luck with your book. I hope we will get to speak very soon, Rhiannon.
Yeah, me too, Andrea. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, all the best. Let's listen now to a song played by the British rock band Coldplay. The song's melody is inspired by Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis, and the music video is famous for its reverse chronology. The Scientist, played by Coldplay. Until next time, may we hear only good things.
Come up to meet you, tell you I'm sorry. You don't know how lovely you are. I had to find you, tell you I need you, tell you I set you apart. Tell me your secrets and ask me your questions. Now let's go back to the start. Running in circles, coming in tails, heads on a science apart. Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard. Oh, take me back to the start. Back to the start.